Our epistle lesson this evening comes from the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Hear now the word of our Lord. Paul speaking, he says, For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Turning now to the book of John, we have our gospel lesson in the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 17 and 31 through 35. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Where am I? 17, okay. 31, okay. When Judas was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified through him. If God is glorified through him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will only be with you a little longer. you will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And this is the word of our Lord. So essentially what Christ was showing them that evening was something that he felt was important. And being the last night that he would have with his disciples, he did probably as you or I would do if you or I knew that this was our last night alive on this earth. And we were surrounded by people that we love. We would want to do a couple things. We would want to comfort them and assure them. And he certainly did this. And we would want to tell them the most important thing in the world to us. The one thing we wouldn't want them to forget. The one thing we would not want them to lose. If we were their teacher, if we were their leader, if we were their mentor, and we knew that we were passing away, we would like to give them that very last bit of knowledge, that one thing, just so you don't forget. You know, I taught you, don't forget this. So little time left. He would leave there and he would go to the garden, and after hours of prayer, he knew that he would be arrested. And he would not be with his disciples again until after he had arisen. He knew the uncertainty. He knew the fear. He knew the doubts that they would have. And so, he washed their feet. Wash their feet? Is that the last thing that you would do? Is that the last thing that you would do for somebody you loved if you knew that you were going to be executed, you were going to be killed? Well, you would if it was the most important thing in the world to you. If you knew that humbling yourself to one another, that humbling yourself to God was the most important thing, then he washed their feet. And you know, to wash somebody's feet is not just a matter of getting a basin of water and a towel. You pretty much need to get on your knees in front of them. And there was sandals that they would have taken off if when they entered the room. And their feet were dusty from the unpaved roads and the dirt streets. And he got on his knees and he washed their feet. Because it was so important. He did something that he wanted them to remember. And I used to read this and think, my goodness, he was going to die on the cross. He was going to be beaten. He was going to be, his side would be pierced. He would die. He would go to hell and take on our sins. And he would rise. And he wanted them to remember that they needed to humble themselves. Now I know it's important to be obedient to God, and I know it's important to worship God, and you can't do that if you put yourself up with God, and you can't worship and you can't be obedient to God if you don't understand that He is in charge and I'm down here. I mean, I have to know that. But why was humility so important? Let me tell you that you cannot truly love someone. You can't truly love your wife or your husband, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your friend, your children, unless you are willing to submit yourself to them, unless you're willing to give up something. You cannot be put yourself first in life and love anyone. You cannot love someone without putting them above yourself. And that is what humility is all about. Jesus wanted them to understand that they were to love God by loving one another. They were to serve God by serving one another. And that he understood that service and love, humility and love, submission and love are so interlinked and so one, two parts of the same coin that they were inseparable. Because if you are selfish, you cannot love. If you are not willing to submit, you cannot love. If you put yourself before someone else, you cannot love them. You can say you love them, but you can't love them. And he is God, and he is the creator, and he knows this, because this is how he made us. He made us so that we had the power to be selfish, but he also made us so that we have the ability to submit, to humble ourselves, to give of ourselves, to put someone else above ourselves. And only through that can we love God and worship God. And so he washed their feet. Now he knew that they would not understand that night. But when John went back some year later to write this gospel book, John included this because it so impressed him about Jesus Christ that he now understood it. John has lived a life of sacrifice. John has lived a life of persecution. John has lived a life giving himself to others so that they would know Jesus Christ. John has lived a life of worship to God. John has lived a life of giving everything that he had for his Lord Jesus Christ. And now he understood. Now John understands why Jesus washed his feet, and he recorded it for you and for me. One of the things that I find that I, in dealing with my marriage, in dealing with my family, in dealing with my friends, in dealing with my church, is that I have to check my ego. I'm sure none of you ever noticed, but I have a really good, healthy ego. Debbie tells me that everything, you always have to be right. I said, well, I really don't want to be wrong. I mean, you know. And, you know, marriage is a strange thing. One of the, you know, messing up is really a bad thing, but being right is worse, you know. So, you Yeah, it's not easy to submit ourselves to one another. It's not easy. Oh, it's easier when somebody is ill and needs our help. It's easier when somebody is suffering. It's easier when they're bad, when they've done something wrong. The hard time to submit ourselves to someone else is when things are going well. But it is so important. And it's important for a number of reasons. Submitting ourselves to one another is important for our interpersonal relationships with each other, but it is also a visual importance to those around us. The children, the grandchildren, the brother, the sister, the mother, the father, the neighbor, the friend, the person in the store. Submitting yourself to someone in a busy grocery line and letting them go forward. Submitting yourself to someone who's a little aggressive in the parking lot. Submitting yourself to someone who wants to talk about something at the same time that you want to talk about something is a little more difficult sometimes. But in doing this, we are showing that love. You know, it's one thing to sit here and we think about submitting to each other, and it's very easy in theory to think about that and how we do this, and we worship God. Yes, I love God. Yes, I submit to people. Yes, I'll give to charities. Yes, I'll go out and I don't mind cleaning the bathrooms. I don't mind sweeping out the floors and picking up the parking lot. That's all good. But it really comes down to the details. When submitting ourselves to people in everyday life situations, when it's not so much fun, it's not convenient, and none of your church brothers and sisters are watching, it is more difficult to submit ourselves. But in doing so, we show love. We show compassion. We show Christianity. We show Jesus Christ. Doing that is what I call being a good finder. Instead of exercising my healthy ego, I try to teach myself to be a good finder and to recognize that good in somebody else, to thank somebody for what they've done, to allow people to serve me so that they can learn that humility as well. The hardest thing that I have is allowing people to serve me. That is so uncomfortable, so unnatural, so difficult for me. But it's important. It's part of God's message. It's part of the learning. It's one of the reasons that we serve one another when we serve communion, that we serve the person who served the communion, that we serve each other, and then we make sure that everybody is served when we serve communion. We do this because it is an important lesson to teach ourselves, and it's an important lesson to teach others. Love is in the details. Finding and looking for new ways every day to submit to others, and I don't mean to be pushed around and be taken advantage of. That's not really what we're talking about. What we're talking about is demonstrating your Christian humility, Christian love, and understanding when there's no real good reason to fight, we submit to one another. The danger of the story about the washing of feet is that we read it almost every Easter. We hear it almost every Easter. It is so familiar. that anyone in this room could tell the story. But it's a story that has been recorded and preserved for us for millenniums. So for thousands of years, this has been recorded and served us because God knows that we need to understand this. God knows that we need to learn to be more submissive, to be more subservient, that we need to love one another in a way that truly exemplifies love by putting ourselves second to the one that we care for. To love the person in an agape love that we have absolutely no emotional care for, that we don't even feel particularly any joy for being around at all, but to show that agape love by serving them. I have a particularly difficult time sometimes when, I think I may have told you this before, but there's a fellow that I've known all my life, and he used to cause my father a lot of grief when he was a kid, letting his horses out and then coming and collecting money from my father to put the horses back in, that dad felt that it was necessary to pay the guy to do it because he was afraid he would let the horses out, not tell him that he had let them out. So this way, at least he got the horses back in. And he would let the horses out and go to a neighbor's house and use the phone and call my dad and say, the horses are out. And dad said, well, you get them back in for me? He said, well, I can, I guess. And dad said, well, you know, if you do that, come on down and I'll give you some money. And he said, okay, I'll get them back in. And he would do that. And it happened year in, year out, over and over again. And I see this guy standing there, and he doesn't smell particularly good, and he has a corncob pipe in his mouth, and he's standing there waiting. He just stands there by the road where I come out and get on the 340. He stands there, and I pick him up, and I know that if I pick him up, he's going to need $20, and I know that he is. And he is so good for me. He is such a blessing. He is such a blessing. The love that Jesus Christ shows us is not to be bestowed only on those who can do things for you. But the love that Jesus Christ has given us is a love that offers us the chance to do things for others, to help the less fortunate, to help the people who are not so likable, the people who are not so trustworthy, the people who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus washed their feet. Can we hold the door for them? Can we let them get in front of us in line? Can we let them have the parking place? Can we let them speak when we want to talk? Can we listen to the story that we've heard 100 times? Can we listen to the complaint? Can we listen to the aches and the pains? Can we love the way Jesus loves us? Amen.